to Hour 2 on this Tuesday edition of the Hagmann Report. Brandon House is our guest. His website is worldviewweekend.com. And last hour, he mentioned a story that happened in 2013 that I really don't remember reporting on, but it is very relevant now as we are talking about these missile systems, these missile launching systems possibly in the United States. North Korea caught smuggling missiles in Panama Canal. Rogue state North Korea has sparked a fresh missile scare after one of its ships was caught trying to sneak in sophisticated weapons in a shipment of sugar. Again, this is from 2013, but the article goes on to say that Coast Guards in the Panama Canal made the incredible find of an undeclared weapons of war hidden among the shipment of brown sugar coming from communist Cuba. The captain of the ship then tried to kill himself during the dramatic incident rather than face punishment in Panama or possibly from North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And this is a very interesting story, and again, as I said, from 2013, don't remember reporting on this when it happened, but this is definitely leading to your argument, Brandon, about the missile systems being here on continental U.S. soil, ready to go, and then you have, you know, North Korea with an ongoing feud with the United States trying to smuggle weapons in shipments of brown sugar.
Exactly. Now, Brandon, before we go any further, why don't you tell people how your social networking platforms, Twitter, it's WVW Online, right?
That's right. WVW Online is our Twitter handle. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. They can get our free radio and TV app at wvwtv.com/app. That's wvwtv.com/app. We have a Roku channel with lots of programs on there for free. They can find our free Roku channel. Details on that at wvwtv.com/Roku.
Wow.
And if they want our text alerts, they can just text WVW to 88202.
Okay. Thank you. I want people to really, folks, look, until we can't do this anymore, Twitter is kind of, is just follow us, follow Brandon on Twitter, WVW. Online. That's Worldview Weekend, abbreviated WVW Online. Follow Brandon on Twitter. It's kind of a good thing to do. And of course, the worldviewweekend.com to get all of the, and WVWTV.com is where you would get the app and such. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to get the word out. Brandon is doing just that. Brandon, I don't want to take another second of your time. Go ahead. Let's move on.
Well, let me just talk about thank you for that too, for promoting our stuff. That's generous of you. Let me tell you what this report again, and I want to make sure we're giving plenty of kudos and credit to Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, who wrote this 91-page report that you can get as a PDF at the Center for Security Policy's website. You can download it as a PDF for free. This is Frank Gaffney's organization. And again, I interviewed today Claire Lopez, who is one of their top people there at the Center for Security Policy. And again, I'll be posting that interview tonight where we did a whole hour on this. And she's a former CIA officer, speaks numerous languages. She speaks Spanish. She speaks Bulgarian, French, German, Russian, is currently studying Farsi. She lectures at all kinds of places, Army War College, FBI Academy. I mean, this woman is very, very credible, Claire Lopez. I had her for the whole hour, and most of the time was discussing this. Now, I've been covering this on my radio show for about a week, but I really wanted to get someone from the Center for Security Policy on our broadcast to go through this report with me, and she did, and I'll be sending that out tonight at worldviewradio.com. We broadcast live on about 35 stations every day, and then we post the shows at night at worldviewradio.com and on Twitter and Facebook, and then we text alert them on occasions when it really rises to that occasion. Tonight, that's the case. But one of the things we talked about, guys, is the beach ball. This report states that with the arrival of the Club K, this cargo container system that lifts up and out of it launches, can launch four cruise missiles. With the arrival of the Club K, the true scale of the threat from Dr. Jaffer, who's now company Gulftainer, has a 35-year lease on Port Canaveral in Florida. Remember, Dr. Jaffer is Saddam Hussein's former mastermind for his nuclear program. So now that we have the arrival of the Club K, the true scale of the threat from Dr. Jaffer's beach ball must be recalculated. Well, what is the beach ball? Well, the Wisconsin Project described Dr. Jaffer's beach ball this way, quote, "The latest blueprint, according to the United Nations inspectors, is of a sphere measuring 32 to 35 inches in diameter with 32 detonators. The bomb would weigh less than a ton and fit on a Scud missile, the weapon Mr. Hussein used in war, in the war to hit Israel and kill American troops." The article goes on to state that defense analysts call the arrival of the Club K an asymmetrical game changer that shifted the U.S.-Russia strategic balance of power to Russia's advantage. Russia is even equipping its new state-of-the-art Arctic icebreakers with the Club K missile systems. And again, the report says that officials at NORTHCOM, NORAD, concede that the United States has no off-the-shelf technical solutions for number one, tracking the Club K units that determined adversaries may have already smuggled into the U.S., or two, defending America from surprise Club K cruise missile attacks, which could include nuclear and EMP attacks. The coupling of the beach ball, says the report, Dr. Jaffer and Gulf-tainer of Russia's Club K container missile launch system, and the placement of Dr. Jaffer inside the wire at Port Canaveral adds up to a national security catastrophe in the making. And that's according to the Center for Security Policy run by Frank Gaffney that put out this report. And I think he was the deputy assistant director secretary of defense under Ronald Reagan. And then I would add something that's not in their report that we covered on our TV program the other night at SituationRoom.net. And that is the Venezuelan company, as we said, CIDCO, this petroleum company, now in financial crisis and coming to their rescue with some cash. Russia, who now, according to numerous reports, has about a 50% stake in CIDCO. CIDCO now has 3 oil refineries in the U.S. and 48 oil terminals for them to move these things around, these cargo containers around. That would be very concerning. Let me also give you a quote from this report. One of the reports paragraphs I wanted to read to you is this. "The study of evolving Russian military doctrine reveals that the Club K container cruise missile launchers smuggled through U.S. ports and armed with caliber-class NATO codenamed Sizzler cruise missiles could be used in a Pearl Harbor-style attack on U.S. naval forces sitting in port." The report goes on to say the Club K gives, quote, "any merchant vessel the capability to wipe out an aircraft carrier," end quote. These Club K container cruise missile attacks could be augmented by force multiplying submarine fleets from Iran, a member of the Islamic bloc. Remember, that was put together by this General Primakov. While we thought the Cold War was over and communism collapsed, behind the scenes, this former KGB general, Primakov, known as the Bear of the Desert, is putting together the Islamic bloc. And again, they're funding and training Islamic terrorists through the Kremlin. So you could have Iran involved, a member of the Islamic bloc, 2 from North Korea, Vietnam, and China, members of the Trans-Asian Axis, and from Russia. These submarines, such as the Russian Ukula II class, along with surface warships and merchant ships also carrying caliber cruise missiles, could result in a massive coordinated surprise cruise missile attack from both off U.S. shores and from within the U.S. interior, including highways, rail lines, and rivers. By the way, some of our enemies have boasted of attacking us with these missiles on the back of semi-trucks, flatbed rail cars that they would be stacked on, or from having these cargo containers put on barges and placed on our rivers. Think Mississippi River. A single Club K with missiles, 4 missiles carrying nuclear or conventional weapons could devastate several U.S. cities, says the report. Each individual Club K container unit armed with 4 cruise missiles is known as a universal launching missile. The 4 cruise missiles can engage multiple targets. Russia designed its Club K system container units to be used in large numbers as components of a massive preemptive distributed lethality attack against the United States. A coordinated Club K attack by Russia and its affiliates could immediately limit America's counter-strike options and capabilities. The collaboration of the naval forces of Russia and other axis of evil states, including Iran and North Korea, is the distributed lethality tactic of a widely deploying Russian-caliber cruise missiles around Axis submarines and hidden in Club K cargo containers, which can launch caliber cruise missiles from ships, riverine boats, rail cars, and semi-trucks inside the United States. Now listen to this. The Russian Defense Journal, they wrote about this. It's been translated, and here's what we read, translated from Russian. Quote, thanks to the caliber cruise missiles, nuclear and conventional submarines will no longer have to change ship targets all across the ocean, but strike them in their ports, attacking them from long ranges. They can now attack a wide range of land targets from directions poorly protected by air defense. Like I was saying earlier, there's no defense system for protecting from off our shores on either side of the coast or from something within. That's not what our military was preparing for. They were preparing in their long-term strategies from years gone by from attack from something like the former Soviet Union. So Russia knows this. They can now attack a wide range of land targets from directions poorly protected by air defenses. This also applies to attacks on surface ships. In the near future, Russian submarines, missile boats, and surface ships will be able to hold at risk all important sites in Europe and in the Middle East. While the nuclear subs will have the U.S. as their potential target, we believe that the idea of placing calibers in standard 40-foot containers, the Caliber K system, or the Club K system, installed on civilian ships, including riverine ones, such concealed floating arsenals can operate on seas and rivers unnoticed. Club S export version is also enjoying success. It's been installed on more than 20 diesel-electric submarines delivered to Algeria, Vietnam, India, and China. Iranian soldiers are casting covetous gazes at them. So this is from a Russian journal, if I remember correctly, going back to 2015. They're boasting about the very thing we're talking about here in 2017.
This is amazing. Now, what would you say to someone that would say to you, and I know that we're kind of perhaps going backwards on this, but how would you respond to someone who's saying, well, you know what, you're sending a lot of the old, Bush, people, from the Bush administration. And of course, we think back to, Colin Powell, at the United Nations holding up that little vial of anthrax, or, what was reported to be anthrax, and the WMD weapons of mass destruction, pretext for invading Iraq. How would you counter that by someone who would say, well, you know what, this sounds a whole lot like, fear mongering based on like a WMD kind of pretext. Yeah.
Well, there were no weapons of mass destruction is what they all came out to tell us.
Right.
Well, that doesn't seem to be backed up by the fact that we know that Dr. Japper was up to what he was up to. Not to mention, you have a General George, you'll have to look his name up, you can maybe search it for me real quick. I want to say General George, I don't even attempt the last name, but there was an Iraqi general, George something another, who became a Christian and came to the United States of America a few years ago and toured churches and spoke in churches. I know one of the churches he spoke at. I've spoken at that church in Minneapolis. And in fact, Sean Hannity had this former Iraqi general on his program. General George Strada or whatever
Sada.
His name was.
Sada.
Sada?
Yeah.
Thank you. General George Sada, he says that the weapons of mass destruction were loaded on 747s and shipped out of Iraq, I think, over to Syria, if I remember correctly. So again, I think between what we're being told by experts related to what Dr. Japper was up to, General Sada, what he testified to and wrote about in his book and then toured America and spoke in American churches and on conservative talk radio and TV, they did have these things. And so I don't know why the Bush administration was always so eager to concede some kind of defeat and they got it wrong. I always thought if I was President Bush, I would have I would have paraded out General George when he was here in America and said, tell the American people what you know. But
right.
George W. wasn't very good at defending himself, was he?
Not at all. And yeah, not, no. I mean, he, no, of course not. And General Sada indeed had, was in a position to know, and certainly was in a position, to verify, to validate what was moved from Iraq to Syria. So I think, yeah, so, okay, all right. This does make sense. But even today, some, 16 years after the initial, invasion of Iraq or attack in Iraq, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, we are seeing, I think, the refinement, and I think you might agree with me, the refinement now of or this escalation of the hostilities, or that's a bad word, but the escalation of the threat, I suppose, the increase to the United States, and I think that that's what this is all about. Now, one question for you. Russia, many people believe that Russia is our friend, so they wouldn't do any of this to us. But really, the Cold War just changed forms. We're still dealing with Russian military, GRU, and others, are we not? So this is still a war.
It is, and may I remind you who Putin was? I mean, he's an old KGB officer. He is a communist to the core, and this whole thing that, hey, you know, we're going to mix a little capitalism with a little communism. This is also known as communitarianism, perestroika, whatever you want to call it, Fagin socialism. This is not new. And so many people, again, assume, hey, you know, Russia is our friend. But I interviewed, as I said, several years ago now, this former KGB officer who now resides in Maryland, and I had him on for the whole hour, and he kept saying, you know, you Americans need to realize Russia is not your friend. And, of course, he was friends with the guy named Alex that was poisoned with the plutonium that was put in his tea. We all know the picture, I think, pretty well of him in his hospital bed with no hair and just, you know, hours from dying. Well, what was he doing? He was trying to point out all the bad stuff that Putin was up to and many of the things he was staging. And he, again, has this whole front of we're fighting terror and terrorism, and in some cases, experts say, carrying out some of the terrorist attacks in his own country, blaming it on the Muslims. That, indeed, of course, bolsters his image with the people of Russia, that he's the one that's going to protect the Russian people from the terrorists, when in reality, he could have very well been the one to carry out these terrorist attacks, blame it on the Muslims, but in the same time, he's working with the Muslims with his General Primakov, who is known as the Desert of the Bear, who's organizing the Islamic Bloc to wage war on their enemies. Now, from a biblical perspective, this has biblical implications prophetically, because Ezekiel 38 and 39 speaks about a coalition of nations coming together and moving against the nation of Israel. And those nations, Gog Magog, the leader of the coalition, Gog and Magog, this leader Gog and his coalition, is made up of Rosh or Russia. It's made up of Persia, Iran. It's made up of many of the nations that we would recognize today, which, by the way, just happened to be part of this Islamic bloc that the general was putting together and has put together. So, biblically speaking, we see these nations come together with Russia, many of them being of Islamic nature. Many of the breakaway republics of the former USSR are Islamic of nature, and they all come together with their shared hatred of Israel and America. America, the great Satan; Israel, the little Satan. So, again, prophetically speaking, if you believe the Bible and follow the Bible, which I do, then this has, I think, prophetic implications in that we see the coalitions already being built and working together. And people can mock it if they want to. I mean, I don't, whatever your eschatology listener happens to be, and different people have different end time beliefs or eschatologies, and they're free to do that. I have friends that don't agree with my pre-trib dispensational eschatology, and that's fine. But I see a lot of nations mentioned in the Bible under different names, but you can go back and we can tell who they are today. Russia, Israel, Iran, Syria, Turkey. I mean, a lot of these nations are there. But America is not. What has happened to America? Even if you just take the Bible out of it and just say, okay, from a common sense standpoint, what makes sense if you're going to move against Israel? Well, if you're going to move against Israel, it would make sense to get rid of Israel's biggest ally and defender, and that would be America. And so you have to wonder what has happened to America. And I have to wonder if America hasn't collapsed economically, hasn't killed itself off, suicide, with all the stupid things we're up to as a nation, vain, useless, and futile, a nation of fools, per Romans 1, given over by God and judged. Or could it be God uses the enemies of America to bring judgment? And that indeed may be what is happening, that God is allowing nations like Russia and many others to invade us and to bring us down as part of our judgment. And what's very interesting is that you see in the Old Testament, in the book of Nahum, such a scenario where these enemies are used to bring judgment on Israel for what they have done, disobeying God. But eventually, God allows nations to turn around and destroy them. And you have to. And what I see coming is a scenario where something has happened to America. We're out of the way. Now these nations, this Marxist Muslim axis, is able to move against Israel. But then after they move against Israel, God supernaturally intervenes and he destroys them. Ezekiel 38, 39 speak of this. So the whole world will know that he is God, that he's the Lord. Simply say that the enemies that are setting up to try to bring down what they call the great Satan America, they themselves will eventually be brought down. But I believe, prophetically speaking, it's very possible that God is allowing our enemies to take over America and bring us down as part of the national judgment that we're going through, which then would result in the New World Order.
And I totally agree with that assessment, by the way. Now, we only have about 4 minutes left until the end of this segment. So I want to make sure people really subscribe to your program and really have a handle on how to listen and such. So please give out your information again, if you don't mind.
Yeah, they can follow us at worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. They'll find our TV shows. If they go to one landing page, worldviewradio.com, look at the top of the page, as your guy was doing earlier, you'll see our news division, our radio division, our TV division. You'll see all of that. If they want to get our text alerts, we use that very sparingly. There it is. There's the page. So you can see our TV division, our news division, our radio division. We have something there called Tube, Worldview Tube. That's a lot of free video clips. We've done a lot of video clips recently. You can watch those free video clips with, again, they're free. A lot of interviews and programs and presentations done by John Guandolo, Chris Govitz, and others. So they can go and benefit from a lot of free stuff. Our Situation Room is our VIP club that can join for as little as $9.99 a year, excuse me, a month, or $99 a year. And it's over 13,000 radio shows, TV shows. And again, most of our material is not date sensitive. We really deal with a lot of stuff that's not date sensitive on purpose. So they get access to that if they want. But if they want to get our text alert, we do send those out very sparingly. They can simply text WVW to 88202. WVW to 88202 and join our text alert system. And then they can also, of course, follow us on Twitter. Our handle is WVW Online, at WVW Online. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/worldviewweekend. And we bring in a lot of experts like John Guandolo, former FBI counterterrorism expert, Chris Govitz, who infiltrated CARE. We have Dr. Peter Pry. He has a 30-minute weekly show that we produce and distribute exclusively. We have shows by other experts as well. Some of them are religious of nature, but others are just simply news and national security in nature, and they'll find them all on our website, worldviewradio.com. Like I said, land at worldviewradio.com, and from there you'll find our TV page and everything else.
Perfect, and thank you for doing that. Again, I follow what you do. This is a lot of your stuff is show prep for me. It's good intelligence. You're the people that you're connected with are reliable sources, and we thank you. You've got about a minute and a half in closing. Whatever you and thank you, by the way, for bringing this around to the biblical context as well. A lot of people are, you know, curious about that, so I think you nailed it very well. About a minute Brandon, whatever you want to close out with.
Well, thank you. And I would say, look, we're not peddling fear here, but we are peddling preparedness. And people better wake up. The FEMA director recently came out, and he said we need a culture of preparedness. And I started talking about EMP a long time ago, but last year I started letting people know about what I've done for my family. And as a result, people started saying, well, where do we get those things? And so I thought, well, instead of pushing them off on some company, we'll make them available, and we do. And we created a website where we offer resources at esdepot.com, esdepot.com. The longer URL is emergencysuppliesdepot.com, or just, again, the short URL, esdepot.com. And we put up a lot of things that our family has. Everything we sell, we have. We tried first, and then we make it available to our listeners. And again, we're not calling for people to panic, to be afraid, to have a spirit of fear and weakness, but we are calling for preparedness. And again, the FEMA director was saying twice now in front of the White House and then on a CBS News report, he said, I can't figure out why the American people won't get ready. The American government, officials who have left government have already said that the government is not going to be the cavalry to show up. They can't. If you have an EMP attack from one of these cargo containers, and again, we focused a lot on the nuclear side, there's the EMP attack. You're talking about just-in-time inventory breaking down in days. So I would say be prepared.
Very well said, Brandon. Brandon House, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this important information with us. And we look forward to having you on again. Again, the website, worldviewweekend.com. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll be right back after this short break. Don't go anywhere.
You know, when people talk about relationships between the U.S. and Russia, I would really urge caution about falling too far into the Russia is our good friend aspect or line of thought. Now, you may think that since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, of that Soviet Empire, all things are just cool and fine. And you may even think, well, Vladimir Putin, he's more of a Christian, and Russia is more of a Christian nation than we are. There are some elements of truth to that. A lot of that has been exploited to the benefit of Russia. However, you've got to really understand the truth. Now, that's not to say that Russia is as it was during its communist, you know, Soviet Union days. That's not to say that. But you've got to be very careful about the about how you describe things. And you also have to be very careful, too, about what Obama has done. And you've got to think about this. Obama and Clinton. Remember Benghazi. Remember what that was about. That was about running weapons shipments up through northern Africa from the East, of course, from the some of the countries, the Saudi Arabian or the Islamic countries from the East, across northern Africa, out of Libya into Syria, through Lebanon and other areas, of course, up there through staging areas, and then ultimately into Syria. Well, those weapons were being used, of course, against who? Against the Assad regime, and who was backing the Assad regime? Russia. So what was Benghazi about? Benghazi was a proxy attack by Russia using al-Nusra and other elements against the United States. So this is not your evening news kind of information that you're getting. This is a deep analysis, deeper analysis by people outside of the government who know what you know what's going on here. And I would just urge everyone to exercise a lot of caution. The other thing is, as well, there's one more thing too, is to connect the dots and understand that we have seen what we're seeing today is this push toward this, and I spoke about it on my radio show today, Look at the bigger picture because of the one world order, global governance kind of mentality that's being pushed by the Democracy Alliance, for example, and the Soros Group and all of these other progressive groups are communist in nature. This is what we're seeing. And it could be a Soviet-style communism or a Maoist-style communism. Communism, however, is communism. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. I would not fall for a lot of the rhetoric that we are hearing from the mainstream media. And that's why it's so important when we have guests on like Brendan House that speak to analysts like Claire Lopez and Frank Gaffney and others. And this is why we have to think outside of the box, too. That's all I'm saying. And the strategic interests of Russia, when it comes down to it, you talk about a nationalist push for a globalist oversight or a globalist overtaking. You're looking at Russia as being a big part of that. And go back and read. And I'm a big proponent of reading. If you didn't hear if you don't listen to my morning show, that's fine. In my morning show, I mentioned books like Venona, the Venona Cables. Also, American Betrayal by Diana West. Big proponent of that book as well. Gives you a lot of deep background into the communist mindset and infiltration here in America. And this is what we're seeing. And you can bring it all the way forward to what we're seeing today. And that's the collusion, the Russian collusion. But I'm not talking about the Donald Trump Russian collusion. I'm talking about the Hillary Clinton Obama Russian collusion for the advancement of communism as the architecture for a global governance. That's all I want to say. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
We have with us Greg Jackson, his website, gregjackson.com. He's joined us tonight to talk about the Roy Moore situation. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Well, good to be here. Can you see me okay, guys?
Yeah, we can. You had a
you're a little bit scratchy on the sound.
All right, okay.
Is that better?
Well, Eric, just keep going. All right. But by the way, your book, we won't get fooled again. We're going to be referencing this book. Folks, this book, we won't get fooled again. Greg Jackson, of course, we're going to be referencing this book here in our conversation. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, and by the way, Doug, that was the first time I was ever on your show. I think it was in 2009 when it came out. And I did the interview from a hotel room in Nebraska, and it was a 3-hour interview.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah,
but it was pretty,
it was amazing. 2011.
Just getting started. Yeah, 2011. You're right. About 2011.
Yep.
So, well, hey, thank you for having me on, guys, and an incredibly important first hour and a half that I listened to every second of. Brandon did a phenomenal job outlining basically a clear and present danger, massive national security threat that virtually nobody else in the mainstream media is talking about. And I thought that you guys covered it very well. And as Joe mentioned, I am a little bit and talk about what I believe to be a pretty significant domestic attack, spiritual attack. And that has to do with Judge Roy Moore. Now, Doug, as you know, because we've discussed this in the past, I got to know Judge Moore in 2008 when I emceed the presidential sessions at the Conservative Political Action Conference. I introduced all the presidential candidates that year. That was the year my first book, Conservative Comeback to Liberal Lies, came out, and I guess I was somewhat of a rising star in the whole conservative movement, which when I look back on it, it was just a little bit silly.
And since your appearance with us, we snuffed that out. All right. Just to be clear, any thought he'd be in rising star coming on with us, snuff that right in the, go ahead.
Well, as you can tell, I'm a little less professional than Mr. House, whose studio dwarfs mine. Mine's not as fancy. Actually, I'm at Jake, my son, who will be running for president in 2032, as John Robertson likes to say. He is at hockey practice tonight, so I'm doing it where I do a lot of my interviews, from my car. So there.
I thought maybe you might be in Vail skiing or something. I don't know, but okay.
Well, hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. But I live at the hockey rink, and parents in the audience who have kids that play hockey know exactly what I'm saying. Three or four nights a week minimum at this particular rink here in Denver, where at Denver University. But back to the book, We Won't Get Fooled Again. I had the opportunity to not only meet Judge Moore, and what I want to do is really provide just my honest sense of what is going on, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then the good news kind of at the end of this segment for the in terms of the big picture, what this is really all about. And I will say that, Doug, when I met Judge Moore, who I think was, he had a book out at the time as well. That was one of the primary reasons he was at CPAC speaking. And I saw him having breakfast one morning at the hotel that we were staying at. I went over to his table, introduced myself, gave him a copy of my book. We talked for a little bit, told him how much I admired him. And a couple of years later, I interviewed him a few times, both on WRKO in Boston, where I had a radio show, and then later on KDAR in Los Angeles. And so I had interviewed him a few times. On one particular occasion, Doug, I'll just mention this as context and background. I, just to kind of give you a glimpse and your listeners as to what type of guy Judge Roy Moore is, I interviewed him, and I had written an article on Town Hall called, entitled, What George Bush's Last Act as President Should Be, or something to that effect. And it was pretty controversial on Town Hall, because I, basically the theme of the article was that if you claim to be pro-life, President Bush, then as your last official act, you should issue a proclamation, a sanctity of life proclamation, ending all abortions, closing down all the abortuaries in America. And the argument in the article, Doug and Joe, was that the President of the United States has an obligation, a duty to enforce the God-given right to life for all innocent human persons when any individual state fails to do so, from the womb to the tomb, as it were. And so that was the central premise of my argument, that the President not only has the right but the duty to do so when individual states fail to protect and defend the most sacred right that any individual human person possesses. So I discussed that article with Judge Moore on my radio show one day, kind of ran past the central premise of the article with him to get his take on it. I had also done that similarly with Dr. Alan Keyes and Dr. Professor Herb Titus, who founded Regent Law School, Christian Law School. And all of them agreed, including Judge Moore, that they thought, based on their understanding of law, that it would not only be the right of the President to do so, but that he would be oath-bound, duty-bound to do so. So I really thought nothing of it. It was a good interview. And then about an hour later, I get a call in my car, just doing my day job, heading off to a hospital. I get a call in a car, and it's Judge Moore's assistant. And the assistant says, Greg, Judge Moore would like to talk to you. And it kind of sounded like the tone that I had heard many times growing up from my mom coming into my room and saying,
oh, you in trouble.
Dad wants to talk to you.
You in trouble now.
Joe, I'm sure you heard that from your father a few times as well.
Oh, yeah. He still does.
Know that tone. Your dad would like to talk to you, and it's never good. But this time it actually was good. So Judge Moore gets on the phone and says, in his southern, you know, beautiful southern accent, you know, Greg, you know, I've been thinking about in my office, you know, some of the things that you said about your article, and I wanted to kind of flesh it out. So he actually asked me all of these questions, and, you know, back and forth. And I said, you know, Judge, I have read the Constitution, but I haven't been to law school, and so I don't know that I'm a constitutional scholar, but I don't think the Constitution was written in such a way that you have to be a constitutional scholar to understand the simple meaning and language that the United States Constitution, the supreme law of the land, is written in. He agreed, and at the time, I think he was considering a run for governor of the state of Alabama. And I told him, I said, you know, I think that that's what you should run on. You should run on, if you're elected, that you will enforce the God-given right to life for all innocent human persons by ending abortion in your state. I even talked to people from his campaign, and he couldn't have been any more just humble, receptive. I hate to use the word nice because it's such a cliche, but here's the bottom line. I bring that up not as self-aggrandizement or to tell a cool story, but I tell that story just as context, that Judge Roy Moore, Supreme Court Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, is going to call a radio talk show host who's never been to law school, half his age, to flesh out this particular constitutional question and issue. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that spoke the type of man Judge Roy Moore is. Now, fast forward a few years later, as you referenced, Doug, my co-author Steve Dace and I wrote this book called We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. We interviewed all of these Christian conservative leaders from all across the spectrum. And it really is a cool book. And it really goes into why where the Christian right went wrong. And it's essentially, if I could sum it up, it's when we basically kick God to the curb and his word to the curb, and stop being principled based on God's word and the Constitution, and started acting too pragmatically, that's when we really started to lose most of the great battles, not only the culture war, but it politically as well. So if people are interested, they can go to Amazon, they can read the reviews. It is a great read, even still today, 6 or 7 years later, Doug and Joe. But the bottom line
is, I read the interview with Judge Roy Moore. You had left me a message, and I thank you for that, because I had forgotten completely about that. And so I pulled this off my bookshelf, which it was about time for me to do so. And
there it is.
It's a phenomenal read. Anyone who doesn't have it, hey, this is, you know what? Great stocking stuffer. Grab this book. It a lot of deep background, good background. Now, against the better, or against the will of both Eric the Tech and Joe, I'm gonna ask you this, but Greg,
yes,
did he touch you? Did he molest you? If not, we don't want to hear it. Seriously,
So let's get to the charges, yeah, shall we? Right. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. First of all, this goes without saying, but you know, obviously, I oppose all forms of sexual harassment. That goes without saying. Here's the bottom line. I have read the accusations against Judge Roy Moore, and I'm sorry if I seem to be a tad skeptical here, but coming from Gloria Allred, who is the lawyer that is representing the quote unquote, plaintiffs, and this isn't even a case, an official case, but the accusers, let's call them Miss Lee Korfman and Beverly Nelson. Those are the two star witnesses, as it were. But I'm sorry if I'm a tad skeptical about Gloria Allred, this red diaper doper baby communist lawyer who's made a career out of slander, libel, and false accusations, who basically carries water for the Democrat Party and George Soros, who is a proven liar, who I believe, if it's proven that she's made these false accusations against Judge Moore in representing her client, should probably be disbarred. But having said that, let's take a look at the evidence, because I will preface it by saying, if it is proven in a court of law, because we are, I hope, still innocent until proven guilty, I mean, not in the Google and Facebook world, but in the real world, that's supposed to be how it is in our representative constitutional republic. But if it is proven in the future, Doug and Joe, that Judge Moore is actually guilty of the charges against him, I'd be the first one to say, hey, you got to step down. And I'm sure that Judge Moore would. But in the absence of any evidence, I believe that the burden of proof is on Gloria Allred and her plaintiffs. I see this as nothing more than a witch hunt. When you look, for example, you know, the devil has his schemes and strategies. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:11. He's the accuser of the brethren. There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. This is the Democrat Saul Alinskyite playbook, in my opinion, based on the evidence. Here's why I say that. They did the same thing to Clarence Thomas, Bob Packwood, Bruce Hershenson, and Gloria Allred smeared Meg Whitman and basically stopped her from becoming the governor of the state of California, in my opinion. But if we look at the accusers very quickly here, Lee Korfman, 1979, 40 years ago, accuses Judge Moore, 40 years ago, of touching her inappropriately when she was allegedly 14 years old. Well, let's take a look at Lee Korfman. Who is this person? Well, we know that three times she's falsely accused other pastors of the same thing. Three times she's filed for bankruptcy. Three times filed for divorce. And if you look at back to her youth, apparently she had quite a bit. She had many, many issues with drugs, alcohol, and got into a lot of trouble. By the way, I find it rather curious that she never mentioned these allegations when Judge Moore ran for other public offices, but waited 40 years when he's running for the Senate. Let's take a look at accuser number two, Miss Beverly Nelson. She accused Moore of assaulting her 40 years ago. But to me, Doug and Joe, her story just doesn't add up. Here's why. The supposed signature of the yearbook that supposedly, allegedly, Mr. Judge Moore signed. Well, I think that there's significant inconsistencies which have been demonstrated that essentially makes Barack Obama's totally forged birth certificate on the White House website look legit, in my opinion. Here's what I mean. Number one, in the yearbook, there's two colors of ink. There's different strokes and structure and slant and alignment from experts that have looked at it. Moore's alleged message wasn't consistent with his vernacular at the time. There's two sets of sevens in 1977 that are totally different. She claimed Moore locked the car from inside with these child locks in 1977, yet child locks weren't invented and put in cars until the 1980s. That to me is, you know, pretty, you know, substantial evidence that she's lying. Nelson's own son, Daryl, or stepson, I should say, says he doesn't believe her. Nelson's ex-boyfriend today is on record saying that he doesn't believe her. Allred admitted that Nelson never saw Moore sign her yearbook. Plus, who signs a yearbook in December? Don't you get your yearbook in like May or June? It's almost to me, Joe and Doug, like Allred said to Nelson, hey, what proof do you have? And she said, I got this yearbook. And Allred said, is that all? And she probably said, that's all. And so they got a yearbook with a lot of very, very questionable, and I think I'm being very kind when I use that term, evidence. But here's the deal. You can go to Moore's website and you can see a whole host, his Senate website, of women that affirms his integrity, his uprightness, his moral behavior. And I'm sorry, guys, if I'm a little skeptical here, but this is what I think it's really all about. Here's what it's about. It's about the fact that Judge Roy Moore, and there's an interesting quote. I'm just going to read it, guys, if you could. It's a short quote from the book that I quote him
in.
Yeah,
sure.
In the interview, and we won't get fooled again, because I think it's the best. And here it is. Well, and this is Judge Moore talking. Well, there's a higher law than a federal court order. It's the United States Constitution. And there's an even higher law than that, and that's God's law. It just so happens that the United States Constitution was written in conformity with God's law. There was no dissonance to it. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution recognized that God is the Creator God. Hey, now, do you think that the powers that be and the good old boys club, you know, the Skull and Bones boys, the John McCain, Songbird McCain, the gay blade, what's his name, Lindsey Graham, you think the guy from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, Paul Rhino, you think the good old boys club globalist statists who are basically you know, Democrats in Republican clothing really want a guy like Roy Moore, who believes that government exists to protect God-given and inalienable rights in the Senate? Do you think they want a guy like Roy Moore, who knows that judicial supremacy is a lie? A guy like Judge Moore, who said, you know, when the supposed court told him, you can't pray in this court, you got to take down the Ten Commandments statue in this court, who told him where they could take their supposed court orders? Do you think they want a guy like Roy Moore, who said, oh, thanks for your opinion, Supreme Court, on Obergefell, but sorry, in Alabama, we're not going to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples because court opinions, especially ones that are immoral, unconstitutional, and legally null and void, don't hold any standing in the state of Alabama. So I think I'm going to ignore your supposed opinion that you belched forth, Mr. Supreme Court Justice. You think they want somebody like Judge Moore serving in the United States Senate? I think not. What we're seeing here is the last dying gasps, like the Wicked Witch in the East and in The Wizard of Oz. I'm dying! I'm melting! That's what you're hearing from these pathetic Luciferians who want to take all of the attention away from real sexual assault, mostly by Democrat Luciferian Satanists like Hillary Clinton, who defended a child rapist. That's the only job she ever had, whose husband was one of the worst sexual pervert deviants ever in politics, who was in the White House. That's what they want to take our attention away from, the pedophile rings that President Trump is exposing. So isn't this just a little bit too convenient that now they have their moral turpitude and they're going up against Judge Roy Moore because they're so against sexual assault? Come on.
Exactly. And I've got to say this. I really believe that the closest thing we have in comparison to the accusations against Judge Roy Moore would be on par with what we saw with Clarence Thomas. Because people are trying to take equivalence with Frank and L. Frank and others, and just not there. By the way, Greg, what we've done is we're foregoing the top of the hour break, and if you could stay with us for another 10-15 minutes or until your son climbs in the vehicle and you gotta go, or even put your son on if that's the case. But if you can stay with us for a little bit longer, we'd really appreciate that. Do you have the time?
Would love to.
Alright. Alright. But what do you say to, okay, and I agree with you 100%, because what Judge Roy Moore represents is a direct threat to the moral, the value, the spiritual values that he embraces and that we as a nation embrace, unlike others. So the going after Judge Roy Moore is totally different and more visceral than against, the accusations against others. I believe. So you can't, so you know, the closest I've got comparison would be to Clarence Thomas, as you mentioned. But the fact is, you know Judge Roy Moore personally, having had lunch with, and folks, Greg Jackson had sat down, had lunch with Judge Roy Moore, knows him personally. Now, I don't want to overstate that relationship, but nonetheless, it's more than any one of us has had. So, you're able to gauge his credibility, and you're saying, no question.
Well, look, you know, I'm not Nostradamus. I'm not claiming to, you know Judge Roy Moore's heart. I know him through probably five or six radio interviews over the years, meeting him in person, interviewing him for the book. We've had a couple of conversations, you know, as I related, to you in regards to, the article that I had written for Town Hall. And hopefully he's listening tonight, because I did email his wife and let them know that, we were going to be talking about this situation. And so hopefully Kayla, his wife and Judge Moore are listening, to be encouraged. You know, the bottom line, Doug, is that, you know, if in fact, you know, I don't know what the laws were in the state of Alabama. If he did in his 30s date younger, girls, which to me, when I first heard it, 14, 15 years old, that seems a little young. You know, that would be something that we all commit youthful indiscretions. It would be nice if that were the case, that Judge Moore clarified that and said, you know, I did date some younger girls in my 30s, that were teenagers, but that was, you know, if you ask, those things were routine back then. I'm not sure, Doug, to be honest with you, but certainly, you know, nobody is perfect. We all have our youthful, you know, indiscretions, things that we're ashamed of, things that we wish we could do over. But again, we're not voting because I don't live in Alabama. But the people in Alabama are voting for a representative from their state to represent them in the United States Senate. They are not voting for a pastor or a priest. And so I think what you have to do in this situation is you gotta look at the entire record.